This is God's Covenant Church, the Church of God established in Jesus' name. We're thanking God for another Sabbath day in the School of Wisdom. And I'm thanking God for the mind that I have to obey the Word of God, yes. Truly laying aside all filthiness of the flesh and receive with meekness the engrafted Word of God. And truly, I thank God for the commandments of God, which is a keeper. We're being kept daily by the teaching and by obeying the teaching. And now I present unto you our pastor and teacher, Perry Boyd.
Thank you, Elder Batiste. Our elders, missionary, deacons, all the saints, all that hear my voice, we do greet you in the name of Jesus another Sabbath day. Glad to be with you. We're going to continue in our thought, what you must do to enter into the kingdom, much through much tribulation. Before we get into that thought, childlike.
Lord, let not my heart be haunted or my eyes lofty, no, I do exercise. Trust in the Lord on the mount I do feed. I behave and follow your lead. As a child that's weaned of his mother, my soul is even as a weaned child. Thou shalt die 100 years old, be converted, and have a childlike spirit.
Ready to receive.
To them he gave power in those of less hour. Maintain his spirit, we'll go back with him.
Beautiful. Thank God for our choir.
Beautiful.
We're going to sanctify, striving to please God. We can hear you. You can divvy our announcements.
You can visit us at any time for our broadcast messages at www.godscovenantchurch.org. Write and mail us at 425 Laconia, West Laconia Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90061. Or call us at any time at area code 323-754-8302. You can email us at info@godscovenantchurch.org. Also, you can subscribe to our podcast at www.godscovenantchurch.org. If you have any questions or concerns about this way, or questions about any scriptures, please text us at area code 323-388-5676, and we will strive to get you the answer on our program. Again, that number is area code 323-388-5676. Now our pastor.
Thank you, Deacon. Another Sabbath day. Glad to be with you. Glad for our anointed that's going on. Moses and all the prophets and our great Bishop Barfield, we are glad for the stand she took.
Yes.
And we're continuing steadfast in the prophets and the apostles' doctrine. Now, Deuteronomy 4 and 6 says, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely, this great nation is a wise and understanding people. I believe the scripture, I believe all the scripture, and I believe they're being rightly divided. Now let's go to Acts 14 and 19. This is where we ended last broadcast. Maybe you're hearing something else. Maybe you heard something else, but this is a continuation. Acts 14 and 19, what does it say?
And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead.
Isn't that beautiful? He got stoned for God's word. And he goes and went through much to prove his love to God. And we have to do the same thing. We're not being stoned literally, but many times we have many confrontations. It's like unto being stoned. Read.
Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city.
So in this walk and in this way, you need support.
Yes.
And the saints, God always got someone there to support you, encourage you.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Always.
Always.
Always got someone there. Thank God for the saints. Go ahead.
He rose up and came into the city. And the next day.
Now that must have been beat pretty bad to think he was dead, but he got up. And he didn't go home and say, you know, I'm done. But he continued on with what God had given him to do. What?
And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe.
What?
And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch.
What did he do?
Confirming the soul.
So it's one thing to have God's word, but you want to come back and confirm. Are you following the teaching? Do you understand what you should do? And he was going back to confirm if they were walking in the way that they were taught. Three.
And exhorting them to continue in the faith.
We want to continue. I don't care how long you've been in this way. You want to continue because the enemy is there to hinder us. But we want to exhort to continue in the faith. What?
And that we must through much tribulation.
We got to go through much tribulations to get there. And the tribulation is because of the way we have been before coming to God. It takes tribulation to drag this stuff out of us. Isn't that beautiful? And we're in the wilderness, going through the wilderness. And God is trying to get the things out of Egypt, out of our lives. And it causes tribulation. We must, through much tribulation, what?
Enter into the kingdom of God.
Let's go to Philippians 2 and 5. So, ones don't like to dwell on that. The disciples were preaching the same thing that the Lord did. He said, except the man deny himself, you cannot be my disciple. So you got to lose something. And that's what this part of the lesson is about. Before it was about vanity. And we have to lose that. But this is about the mind, having a low mind. But because it's what stops many of us of entering to where God wants to take us, because that mindset we have.
Yes.
Philippians 2 and 5, what does it say?
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
So, ones, they love to quote the scripture. Many people quote the scripture. But what was his mindset? Lord had a mindset to please God.
Yes.
He said, my Father gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Do we have that same mind?
Yes.
Because that's the mindset they have, and not worried about what somebody else's mind is. That's the mind we got to have individually, that mind. And if we all got the same mind, we can drop our differences, because that's the thing that clings us together. Isn't that beautiful? Read it.
Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
What?
But made himself of no reputation.
So wait a minute, this is what we confront all the time. We come to God, and because we are doctors and mechanics and this and that, we know everything. Our knowledge means nothing when it comes to God. If God is saying one thing, we can drop what we got to say. We know that axes can't float, right? But with God, they can float. So when you're in God and you got a problem, let's take it to God and not worry about what your expertise and what your mindset think the best remedy is. About what God is saying. What does the second verse say?
Second, yes. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of
one mind. Isn't that beautiful? Yes. So if we're together, whatever we're doing, it's about the mindset to do what we're doing.
Yes.
We got a mind to bowl? No, I want to go do something else. That's not one mind. Drop your concern. Let's get with the Spirit. Whatever the Spirit is going, let's do that. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
You eliminate problems with each other. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Read. Let nothing
be done through strife or vainglory.
So we talked about vainglory. Vainglory is whatever you're doing and it's not unto God, it's just vain.
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
Whether you live for God or not, if it's not unto God, to benefit God, mm-hmm. it's vain.
That's right.
Man is vanity. Everything is vanity. But if you're pleasing God, you're not doing things in vain. That's when it counts. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
But in what?
But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other.
This is what causes divisions all around the world. One mind won't exceed the other. But if you all have the same mind of God, you can drop your mind.
Yes.
And I can drop mine.
Yes, right.
And I can go forth, you can drop yours. You can go forth, I can drop mine. Because we all got the same mind. Let God be first. Let esteeming the others more, right? Isn't that beautiful?
Beautiful.
All right, let's go to Galatians.
All right.
1 and 10. And Paul was a good example of denying himself. And Paul had knowledge.
Yes.
And I want anyone that's listening to this broadcast, think about it. We come to God and we're going to tell God this and we're going to tell God. I don't think it's like this. But here you had one that was astute in the word.
Yes.
He was able to count the dung. But we come in and just because we have a little knowledge about this and that, we don't want to drop it. And we can't take low for our brothers and sisters. We got to let them know I know. I had a situation yesterday, and I was talking to Sister Anna. Anna said, anybody can change the baby's last name. You can give the child a name. I said, I don't know anything about that. I said, that ain't to my knowledge. To my knowledge, if you're not married, they can't take the last name. Or if the man is there, he's got to give consent. I found out, and I said, well, I don't know anything about that. I said, you might be right. That's considering. But sometimes, no, it's not. No, you wrong. Why you can't give it to us? I said, you might be right. And guess what? You were right. I didn't know that. But let's not put ourselves in a corner because of our high mind that we know it all. It's better to say, well, to my knowledge, but you could be right and give it up. But sometimes we can't do it because that old pride is foolishness. It's carnality. Galatians 1 and 10, what does it say?
For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of
Again,
Christ.
If we all got the same mind, and we want to please God, then I should be able to say, you know what? Nah, maybe you're right, and walk away. Because his judgment was taken away. Deny yourself of your judgment. Can you let it go and let your brother and sister have it? And if you're right, what do you lose? But that carnal mind ain't going to do that. Carnal mind will put up a fight every time. A carnal mind got to show you, I know and you don't. That's carnality. You got to lose that. Lowly in mind. Isn't that beautiful? Read.
But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after me.
Paul had knowledge, but he didn't know this didn't come after the tradition of men. This is not made up by man.
Yes.
This is all God.
Yes.
Read.
For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it.
That don't mean he didn't receive it from a man. He's saying he didn't receive it from the old man. Because when you receive knowledge from God's anointing, you're receiving it from God. That's not man. That's from the Spirit. Because one said, whoa, God talked directed to Paul. I'm like Paul. Well, I can accept that. If you do what Paul did, I can just about believe maybe you got it on your own. But until then, I'm assuming that you could have a little help. That ain't what it necessarily mean. He didn't get it from man. In other words, it was just straight from God. I don't necessarily understand that. But don't tell you that. Read.
But by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
So in other words, even though a man may have taught him, it's still by revelation. Because that's what it means. It takes God to give increase. You can plan it, but it takes God to open your mind up. Isn't that beautiful? But God's not going to open your mind up with the wrong seed. Right? The seed got to be right. Then God can open your mind. In other words, if you want to put the puzzle together, have the right pieces. You don't have the right pieces, you're not going to open it up. Right? Read.
For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God.
Wait a minute. That's what happens many times. We persecute each other with our demeanor. Sometimes we can't let the other one talk, or we just talk over them, all over talk them. Sometimes every time you say ying, they say yang. Where is the camaraderie? Where is it taken down? Who can step back and say, you know what? Don't worry about it, I got it. See, we read about it, but who can take low and do it? We have to do that. Isn't that beautiful? Read.
And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly jealous.
Many of them, but you know what? He had the talent. And he put his talent to use. God blessed him. Well, God, the devil blessed him. Because that's what he was up under.
Right.
But God used that talent.
Yes.
And he had the talent. And above many his equal. Now, how many of you know like Paul came in with Paul like Paul? How many do we read about? Out of all those Pharisees, just one. That was what that Paul can say he endorsed. Paul don't mention Nicodemus. Don't mean Paul knew Nicodemus. Right? But all he knew, he didn't know anybody. What did he say?
Being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers.
What?
But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace.
What?
To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood.
Why?
Neither
because it wasn't anybody worthy.
Beautiful.
Go to 1 Corinthians 1 and 26. That's something to have knowledge and you don't have nobody want to do it. Well, that's the situation. Because there ain't but a few. You have knowledge, but ain't too many you can share it with because they don't want to do it. And moreover, if you share some of this with some of them, you get stoned. If I start talking about Martin Luther King, I have all kinds of troubles. Say, well, Dr. Martin Luther King was a freedom fighter. As far as I'm going, because I don't want anybody outside waiting on me here. So what did you say? Read.
26, yes. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not
because many nobody was willing to. He couldn't share the information because they couldn't see it. And God wasn't calling nobody else. Nobody was worthy at his time. He said, not many mighty, not many called. What?
But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise.
So all I say again is, why would we come in God and act like we got something and we know everything? And many of us, we're fortunate if we can get a janitor's job. But can't be told nothing, know everything. Know more than Kaiser, more than the doctors. Read.
And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty.
Let's go to Romans 12 and 2. Let's go there. We want to lose that kind of mind. Be low-minded. Lowly. You know how you make kids feel good? Make each other feel like that. You tell the child, oh, that's wonderful. You know some junk. Notice, oh, that they bring, oh, look at my painting. It's the ugliest thing you ever seen. So, oh, that's so cute. Now, you're not lying. And if you encourage your brothers, you're not lying because you want to make them feel good.
Right.
And you can tell them something that's true. As long as it's true, you're not lying.
That's right.
It might be something you recognized a year ago. Might be over, but you say, well, you know, I remember that. Okay. Thank God. 12 and 2, what does it say?
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of
your mind. When we come to God, we've got to learn all over again, many times. Not all, everything. If you had love, and if you had too much love, God would have to bring it in with temperance. And if you don't have any, God show you how to get it. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Don't make it difficult. You've got to get your mind renewed. Start thinking about things. What we think about now, tell yourself, I'm having fun. I'm glorying this tribulation. You keep telling yourself that, and you will. But if you don't apply the teaching, how can you prove it? Isn't that beautiful?
That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
What?
For I say, through the grace given unto me, that every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think.
More than you ought to think. You know, just have all the answers. Know everything.
Yes, sir.
And never willing to work with the Spirit. Always against. Let's go to Philippians 3 and 3. Thank God for knowledge. Says I, Elder Matisse, I'm grateful for the word. And if you apply it, it works. Just that simple. I'm glad for the teaching. And I'm glad to be amongst those that are sanctified. Isn't that beautiful? I ain't got to say no more than that. Thank God.
Yes.
3 and 3.
For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh.
That means we are those that have been sanctified, the circumcision. Worship God in the spirit. We follow the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
When you're not in the spirit, you don't follow the spirit. That means your heart is not circumcised. It's always problems and substitute and always, but, Bob, always that. Never submissive. 3.
Yes. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more.
What?
Circumcised the eighth day of the stock.
So he had all the credentials. And he was putting them out there, you know, it don't mean anything. So that's what I'm saying. When you come to God, you got to forget about all this. You know, I ran a 60-yard dash in 6 seconds.
Oh,
you know, we ain't dashing in here. Say, so, I got a diploma in mechanic school. Well, okay. I'm still going to dealership unless God lead me to you. But you know, just because you have all this knowledge, so what? If I come to you and say, you know you're from Kunta Kinte's tribe, right? So what? Says, do you know all the history? If I do, is it going to get me any more money in my pocket? Is it going to help me pay my bills? People going to ancestry.com, it's going all kind of stuff. Just vain stuff has no value to it. You leave ancestry.com and still can't find no work. Or work and still don't go to work. What good is that? So I found out I'm an Italian. Well, ain't nobody gonna know it, cause to everybody else you black. I got German in me. Okay, who knows that? Come on, that's vain stuff. Okay, let's be lowly minded. Let's stay with the low mind. Let's stay with that. Try to throw it in there. That's what people talk about. Get all out of the will of God, and the secret is they're not even in it. But you know, they just get all caught up in this stuff, like it means something. Okay. Yeah, what are we reading? I'm kind of stirred with that. Read.
Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, in Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee.
So he gave all his credentials, and he's letting you know it don't mean nothing. What does the eighth verse say? What does it say?
Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus.
So can we do that? Can we count our ways as loss? You know what? I'm not doing it. Drop that. And in your mind, you're thinking, so-and-so says, no, I'm going to drop that. Stay with the man of God. I'm taking away my judgment. Yes. How you do that? If you can't handle it in your mind, go to the pastor and say, you know what, so-and-so-and-so. Where are your elders? Say, oh, you know, so-and-so. Get off your mind and leave it alone. Get your mind off of it. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
And when you do it, just tell the story. Don't give your opinion. Be low-minded. Say, this is what happened, but this is what I saw. It's in your hands now. I'm done. Can we do that?
Yes.
We got to.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful? To stay pleasing to God.
Yes.
Read the 8th verse again. Yea, doubtless.
Yea, doubtless. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ.
Isn't that beautiful? Read Romans 6 and 3.
Yes,
it's all about being pleasing to God.
Yes.
Romans 6 and 3.
Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?
Isn't that beautiful? So, as I say again, most people go to Christ, ooh, Christ, I'm coming to Christ to save my soul. You're going to Christ to die. But people don't know that. And when you say that, people say, this stuff's time to get out of here. What are they talking about? It's talking about the death of the cross. This is the one that God is talking about. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Let's go to Romans. Romans 7 and 10. Let's go there, right over the next page. 7 and 10, what does it say?
It says, and the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death.
So wait a minute now. If we're baptized into his death, and he said, my father gave me a commandment, it's life everlasting. The commandment which was ordained to life is unto death. Because if you obey it, the old man dies.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
So this is what we've been baptized into. I want everybody that's looking at this video, whoever it is, check it out.
Yes.
This is what kills the old man. That's death. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Read the 7th verse. What does it say?
Yes. What shall we say then? Is the law sin?
The law is not sin. The lady loves to say the law been done away with.
Right.
Never been done away with.
No.
The law of circumcision was fulfilled.
Yes.
Is fulfilled when you keep God's divine law.
Yes.
And the law of sacrifice was fulfilled when Jesus paid the price.
Yes.
Thine word stays the same.
Yes.
The remedy for sin was now the Lamb,
yes,
which was always the original intent. Everything else was a substitute. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Read.
God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law.
What?
By the law. For I had known lust, except.
For I had not known lust.
Yes. Except the law had said, thou shalt not.
So it's talking about God's divine law.
Right.
This is not sin. God forbid.
Yes.
Why would God destroy it? But so you could see what God is not pleased with, that's why we have it.
Yes.
Read.
But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence.
Mm-hmm.
For without the law, sin was dead.
God gave Adam the law in the garden to stay alive.
Yes,
because there was no sin in his life. The devil used that.
Yes.
And what did it say? He took occasion of what God said. You're going to die. He said, you're not going to surely die, and gave more information.
Yes.
He was able to not maintain the life of God, but he died out of the sinless life.
Yes.
This was death.
Yes.
He died unto that.
Yes.
He had to be born again.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Read.
For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died.
Isn't that beautiful to know that?
Yes.
Let's go to 6 and 10. Let's go there.
Yes.
Romans.
Yes, sir. For in that he died unto sin once.
For in that he died unto sin.
Once.
What? Once. Mm-hmm. What?
But in that he liveth unto God.
Now, you cannot die unto sin unless you are in sin. What does it say?
Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin.
Now, wait a minute. So if we're dead unto sin, what does that mean? We've overcome sin, and now we're dead to it. unto sin. So if he was alive unto sin, means he was in sin. Now, the cross they killed him on, he wasn't alive to that. You understand what I'm saying? He wasn't alive in a sense where it was against him, where it was a sin to him. It wasn't sin to him.
No.
But the death that was sin was the first death that he had to be born again out of.
Yes.
Let's read that again.
Yes, sir.
For in that he died unto sin once. Mm-hmm. Now, when he died at the cross, he wasn't dying unto sin.
No.
He died because of sin. Sinful people killed him, but he didn't die unto sin. To die unto sin means you're not letting it affect you.
Right.
Like we have to reckon it, be dead unto it. Like it don't move me.
Right.
Do you all understand?
Yes.
He was alive once unto sin.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Read it again. Like read it.
Yes.
For in that he died.
He died unto sin once.
So I said again, you don't die unto sin unless sin was a part of you.
Right.
In other words, now you're saying, I'm dead to this. I'm dead.
Right.
And he says what?
But in that he liveth unto God.
What?
Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin.
What?
But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
What?
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal
body. It's the enemy that comes through your mind. But if you let him reign, he's going to overtake you. You have to rebuke him and resist him, and he leaves.
Yes, that's right.
You don't sin.
Right.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
So we won't let it rain through this. You can't stop him from talking, but you can let him stop from raining. Just pounding you all day, and next thing you get home, you go. All you want to do is go to bed because you've been wore out.
Yes.
All right, and we're going further than that. Let's go to 1 John 3 and 4. Thank God. We want to be lowly. You get that low mind, most of your battle is over with. If you're able to take low. If you're not, you ain't got the victory. 1 John 3 and 4.
Whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law.
Now, wait a minute. So how can you get rid of the law if that defines sin? Is that just common sense reasoning? Anybody would come and say, we must not be talking about that law, because how are you going to define sin? If there's no sin, why do we need God to save us? If there's no sin. That means everybody free, so we pay for our sins. What do we got to do?
Right.
What?
And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins.
Mm-hmm.
And in him is no sin.
What's the 8th verse say?
He that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil.
Now wait a minute, say, well, I'm in Christ, the Church of God in Christ. Well, you know, you don't commit sin when you're in Christ. Okay, you can't help but sin. Well, that's of the devil. The devil will make you sin, and God will make you sin. Well, it say he that committed sin is of the devil. So now, if you're telling me, well, I committed sin, but I'm in Christ, who's lying? The scripture or you? Because scripture says, if you sin, you're of the devil. What?
For the devil sinneth from the beginning.
What?
For this purpose, the Son of God.
That's why we become God's son, to get rid of that old man.
Yes, beautiful.
What does it say? Second verse. What does it say?
Second verse. It says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be.
What?
But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him."
Because you know, without holiness, you can't see God. So if you are sanctifying yourself and get holy, now you can see him. So, but you got to do the process so you can't see him.
Right.
Isn't that beautiful?
Beautiful?
What?
For we shall see him as he is.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
What?
And every man that hath this hope in him purifies.
So if you're a son of God and you got that hope, your hope is to destroy the works of the devil.
You can visit us at any time for our broadcast messages at www.godscovenantchurch.org. Write and mail us at 425 Laconia, West Laconia Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90061. Or call us at any time at area code 323-754-8302. You can email us at info@godscovenantchurch.org. Also, you can subscribe to our podcast at www.godscovenantchurch.org. If you have any questions or concerns about this way, or questions about any scriptures, Please text us at area code 323-388-5676, and we will strive to get you the answer on our program. Again, that number is area code 323-388-5676.